This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The Bears. We'll go next to Chris Emma from 670 The Score. Go ahead, Chris.
Chris Emma.
I will fight Chris Emma. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Covering the Bears for 670 The Score.
Covering the Bears quite a bit, as he always does, and we're always happy to have him aboard. Chris Emma.
Yeah, we got you, Chris. Chris, you look like you're working that technology about like I did.
Lead Bears writer for 670thescore.com.
At the same point in time, they've got major depth concerns, so, I mean, I feel like I got the crowd noise here with these cicadas going. I'm tuned out here outside of Hallis Hall.
Chris Emma with Spiegel and Holmes.
I like it.
On 670 The Score.
We are live from Sluggers on a Friday in Wrigleyville. He is Gabe Ramirez. I am Judson Richards. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes on a Friday. That is Chris Emma. Emma, whenever I hear that open, I think to myself, I wouldn't mess with Emma. Like, you look like a mauler. Like, you just, like, you would just
he's the guy that someone. He's the guy that you think you want to pick on because he's, like, calm, relaxed. But he like once he turns red and he triggers, like, you have no chance after that. I could see that.
You won't like me when I'm angry.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, I believe it.
Look, my favorite part about that open now, good to be with you guys, by the way, is just how many random text messages I get from people saying, why does Jason Leisure want to fight you? And I can't even explain it. It's better without context, so I enjoy it as well.
Also, when's that going to happen?
I'll pay to watch.
Maybe the bye week, like week five bye week, we could schedule for that. Maybe you're Sluggers.
Yeah, we could definitely set up a ring here.
Instead of dueling pianos, dueling sports analysts, I love this.
Yeah, hit the batting cages first, and then we'll do the big fight.
I think Jason should be careful what he asks for, what dog he's calling out. Emma, you also look like a guy who's had some good times at Sluggers. Would I be lying?
This is not my first time here. Definitely not my first time on Clark Street, as a matter of fact. Yeah, it's you really had to twist my arm. Yeah, you want to join us at Sluggers at 5 o'clock on a Friday? Yeah, I can make that work. I think I could be there for that, so... I love this place. Absolutely. A lot of memories here.
I don't see a lot of drinking due to Micah Parsons, so that's good. I feel like Bears fans are somewhat handling it pretty well. You and I discussed last night, really reacted to the news as we were, you know, I was still wrapping my mind, I think, around the Cowboys letting Micah Parsons get out of the building, more so than what is probably the bigger issue. Is now Micah Parsons is with the Green Bay Packers and in the NFC North. But just revisiting that conversation last night, any new thoughts that you had about this this Micah Parsons situation?
I didn't think it would come to this. I did not think that Jerry Jones would give in on this demand. Like, Jerry Jones is a stubborn man. We know that well. And I just did not think he was going to relent. I thought they were going to get the contract done. He was going to stay with the Cowboys. But look, man, the Packers are ready for that. They lined up. They've been obviously working this for a while. This is not something that just came to fruition yesterday. They had a great offer, but it's also like it fits perfectly for them. And now we draw the parallels to the Bears. You kind of threw it on me last night, too. Like, would you do this from the Bears' side? And I hesitated a bit. I think the answer I need to go back to is just a yes, absolutely. Like, yeah. My thought of hesitance was the idea of you're really risking a lot of the future. I don't have a ton of faith from the track record Ryan Poles drafting to make up for the fact that you're giving up two firsts and really going all in on this window. And we still don't know if Caleb Williams is going to be great, but I'm willing to take that chance. And you should be looking to Green Bay with envy now, seeing the way that they got a missing piece for their defense and put together a team that went from very good to great and potentially a championship contender here. So it changed the landscape of the NFC North and really the entire NFL.
Yeah, Nelly, we talked about it last night, right? So much of the Micah Parsons news, a major trade days before the season begins to the NFC North, has us thinking about the Khalil Mack deal, right? And it's easy to look back at the deal and know exactly what happened. But at the time, I think you say you just absolutely go ahead and make that deal if you think you're one or, you know. I don't even love the one player away thing. Anytime you can add that kind of talent, you may just need to take the leap.
And the thing to consider, too, from the Packers' side is, like, if you're as good as you think you're going to be, that's a late first-round pick. You're fine giving up 2 years of late first-round picks in, like, the mid to late 20s, even the 30s maybe, if you're thinking we're getting Micah Parsons and we're putting together a championship-caliber team. So, but Brian Gutekunst on the screen right here, like, that's a guy who he showed some he showed his confidence in this team and himself and certainly in Jordan Love, and now they got to go out and do it. But it changes the entire dynamic here. A week before those Cowboys go to Philly and take on the Super Bowl champs at Lincoln Financial Field, like, this entire landscape completely changed.
Yeah, it's going to be a game where they're going to have to put up a lot of points if they want to beat those Eagles. You touched on it a second ago, Chris, where you were talking about the Packers before Micah and then after, and maybe your outlook on them heading into the season. What was that, right? Like, what did you think the Packers were going to be prior to the Micah Parsons trade? And then what do you think they are going to be now?
They were a top five defense last year without Micah Parsons. Their leading sack recorder was Rashawn Gary with 7.5, which is good but not great. They didn't have anybody close to the double digits. They did not get consistent pressure all year long. All offseason long in Green Bay, the talk was, who's going to be that new pass rusher? Who's going to come in and enhance this defense? Because all you needed was a little bit of an upgrade there in Green Bay to make this defense go from good to great. And you got the best pass rusher, the best defensive player, arguably, in the NFL now. And it changes everything. And we saw it in Chicago with Khalil Mack in 2018. The way that he multiplies everybody around him. I mean, Akeem Hicks went from a good player to a great player. Eddie Jackson had an elite Pro Bowl All-Pro type season. Kyle Fuller took off. Everybody on that defense took off. And now you can look at that from the Packers standpoint, and if Parsons is healthy and as productive as we've seen him be, you talk about everybody else taking off. Rashawn Gary going from 7.5 sacks to double digits. And McKinley had, the 8 interceptions last year. I mean, he won't get that many, but he's going to have a lot. Like, this entire defensive identity for them takes shape. And on the offensive side of the ball, like, I'm not really that confident in Jordan Love being great. I think he's good. He's also got a lot of inconsistencies, but you balance it out with a great defense with a running back like Josh Jacobs. So I thought the Packers were the team to beat in the NFC North this year, and now I really think it.
Emma, stopping a great pass rusher and how to do it isn't new to Ben Johnson, and it's not like they're just going to have to figure out how to do it against the Green Bay Packers. Jonathan Greenard, obviously, with the Minnesota Vikings in Week 1. They'll have Aiden Hutchinson for the Detroit Lions in Week 2. And one of the great ways to keep your quarterback safe or upright is if you can run the football, right? Stop a great pass rusher. How do you stop him from getting the quarterback? Well, your QB is not having the ball, you'd like to think, because maybe you're getting 5.5 yards per carry on the ground. That doesn't sound like an easy thing for the Bears to do because they seem to be lacking the ability when it comes to the running back room. What do you make of where they are now? And is, you know, can this be the featured running game that Ben Johnson likes to have?
It was a really interesting offseason at the running back position. Think back to March and when the open market hit, and there wasn't really a lot of interest. There weren't those great backs like there were a year before that, when you had your pick of the litter and you went for DeAndre Swift. And then you go to the draft, and the Ashton Jeanty thing was there, but it wasn't really realistic. They had no interest in trading that much capital to move up to the top five and take a running back. Had Travion Henderson in the second round. They liked him, missed out on him. Scadaboo in the early fourth round, liked him, missed out on him. They didn't get the running back till Kyle Benungai in the seventh round. Like, we'll see what he becomes, but that wasn't exactly addressing that position. They are really confident in DeAndre Swift having a strong bounce-back season, and I believe that can be the case. I think Eric Bieniemy is going to be the best thing to happen to DeAndre Swift to get rid of some of those bad tendencies of dancing and not trusting your line and just hit the hole and go. Like, he was too much of a scat back last year where he couldn't get to the outside and get that rushing room. He's going to be more aggressive now because he's got a coach who's teaching him up on that, who's making sure he's ready to hit those holes. And he's got a much improved offensive line now. And I know there's been a lot of focus on left tackle, but this offensive line as a whole, with those four, with the three new starters on the interior, the four guys, and we'll see what happens at left tackle, that's a much better offensive line, and in particular for the run blocking side. So you're going to have holes now. You're going to have those rushing lanes. They're putting a lot on the plate of DeAndre Swift, and he's got to prove it as well. He's got two more years left on that contract, but he knows that there's uncertainty after this season. He was great a couple years ago in Philadelphia with the best offensive line in football that year. This is a much better offensive line. I wouldn't say they're the best in football by any means, but you've got a chance now to get much better production out of DeAndre Swift, and they're counting on it clearly. Like, they need to develop some guys around him because I don't have a ton of faith in Benungi being like that running back two for them and really being that true complement. Roshon Johnson hasn't stayed healthy. I thought they were going to be more active looking at that the last couple days in waivers, but there weren't a lot of great options out there. So it's done now. Like, they missed out on all the running backs this offseason, and they're just leaning on Swift.
Yeah, and then when you're talking about Swift, and you mentioned obviously his success in Philadelphia, he was a Pro Bowl player there, right, before he left it. That's why the Bears brought him in, assuming he was going to be able to duplicate that. Well, now he has a better opportunity to do so with the improved offensive line that you mentioned. And then speaking of offensive line, you know, we've had lengthy discussions about that left tackle position, right? I, in talking to people, whether it be on CHSN here today, I say to myself, well, the offensive line's in a better, much better position than it was a couple of years ago, so I'm not necessarily stressing at the left tackle as much as people are in the present. But when you look at it and the rotation of tackles that are there for the Chicago Bears, what can you say when you're speaking about them as a whole, including the Darnell Wright, including Chipillo, including, obviously, Braxton Jones, the tackle situation for the Chicago Bears, where most people are down on it? What's your take on it in the present?
I think, honestly, Chipillo is your long-term answer left tackle, and it didn't happen yet, and that's okay. Like, nobody should be worried that he didn't come out there and win that spot because he had a much steeper learning curve than Braxton Jones had in terms of a curve coming back from that injury, or Theo Bennett had a curve in terms of rising up as an undrafted free agent. Like, Ozzie Trabone had a steep climb to earn that spot, and that's okay that he didn't get it. He's going to develop with a very good offensive line coach, with veterans around him, with a great head on his shoulders, and I believe he's your left tackle of the long term.
Even though they moved him back to right tackle?
Yeah, to
keep working him at the left tackle, do you think he's going to be the future, even if it's not now?
I think the idea is to cross-train him, get him more comfortable at the right tackle spot. The biggest hurdle he faced and couldn't overcome in training camp was switching from right tackle to left tackle. It's different. It's completely different. And those guys who played it will tell you that. I think ultimately they see him at the left tackle spot. They could also maybe – they've talked about sliding Darnell Wright from right tackle to left tackle. That'd be a next offseason thing. They're not going to do that at this point, but – that's been something in consideration. I think they see in some form those two guys bookending your offensive line for years to come. So I think you're okay in the long term. Right now, you got to get through it. I will say for Braxton Jones' case, like, I think he's going to look better than he has in camp just as he gets healthier, as he gets more trust in that ankle and his entire lower base, because he's not looked great throughout camp and now, as you saw in those preseason games. But the body works there. You know what you're getting in Braxton Jones. You feel good, not great about it as your left tackle is.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby, Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Cheer.
He's 6'7 The Score Bears reporter Chris Emma. He's Gabe Ramirez. I'm Judson Richards with you live from Sluggers in Wrigleyville on 6'7 The Score. We are in for Spiegel and Holmes today. Emma, here's a million-dollar question for you. What does that Bears offense look like week one against the Minnesota Vikings with Caleb Williams?
There's been a lot of talk, obviously, about what Caleb Williams is going to do in his second year, the weapons around him, the two tight ends, the Luther Burden factor. Yep. Ben Johnson wants to run the football. Like, we saw that in Detroit, and I know he doesn't have...
They should have drafted a running back higher.
I mean, I keep hearing this, and
you're right, but it's like 21 running backs went before Manunga.
That's the disconnect, right? You would have loved to have that Gentry there, or... You would love to have a redo on the 2024 free agent class and go for Saquon Barkley or Josh Jacobs or Derrick Henry. Like, there were options out there. At this point, it is what it is. But we know Ben Johnson's priority of running the football. We've seen how effective his offenses can be in the past. And I know it's a different scheme from what he had in Detroit. Certainly different personnel as well. But I think they're going to see the running game be the best friend of a young quarterback who still is adjusting and adapting to the scheme and getting more comfortable. And I was encouraged by what I saw at the end of training camp in the preseason from Caleb Williams. And going in early, like, he struggled. They were making him drink through a fire hose, and they kept saying, like, it's going to click. It's going to be all right. He's going to catch up. It's all going to settle in here. And you wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt because it's a new staff, and ultimately I found it to be true. I saw Caleb Williams get better, stacking more good days than bad. I loved what I saw in that Sunday night preseason game against the Bills. I was encouraged by what I saw in that fourth and final series he had in Kansas City, even though it was rocky early on. Like, it's okay. He's getting there. He's making strides in this offensive identity, and you're seeing it come to fruition around him. So
his footwork looks better.
It looks better. He looks more comfortable, and that was lacking as he started out in training camp where, you know, they were giving him the entire inventory of this offense. So, like, your head is spinning. You get that ball, first of all, pre-snap, you got to get everybody settled, you got to go everything, all your reads and checks, and know what's coming at you. Then once you get that ball in your hand and you're dropping back, it goes fast. Like, right. Those guys are challenging you, and you're not quite sure, where's my first read, where's my check down? Like, it's going really fast at that rate, but ultimately it slows down with comfort, with studying, with everything he does to get up to speed, and you saw that taking place. So I'm encouraged by where Caleb Williams came along. I think they still want to run the heck out of the ball as much as they can. And whether it's Swift, you like to get Roquan Johnson back healthy, which I think will be the case by next week, and build some identity with the run game before you really open up the passing game and get that full steam, because I think they know it's going to be challenging and rocky early on from the passing game standpoint.
Yeah, Chris, obviously you've been close to the team at training camp, seeing them up close and personal. Is there an area of the team that you feel like is going to be better than people are giving them credit for? I mean, you think about the secondary, and obviously the injuries to Jalen Johnson, Terrell Smith, obviously Nashon Wright playing as good as he can in the preseason. But is there an area, maybe it is the secondary, or is there somewhere else that you think Bears fans are going to be surprised that is better than we're maybe anticipating?
I'm just excited to see the way that Dennis Allen forms his defense, like the way that he works his personnel, what a Kyler Gordon's going to look like in this scheme. How he plays the linebackers, what Tremaine Edmonds can do now in his third year with the Bears and first year with this defensive identity, how a Noah Sewell and even a Ruben Hippolyte fit in, and then the way that they're going to rotate these defensive linemen. You got a lot of really good, talented pieces that they're encouraged by and intrigued to see how they fit. Injury setbacks are problematic. Losing a guy like Austin Booker stinks because you saw the way he was starting to build good days and look toward the future, but I'm really excited to see the way that Dennis Allen can form this defense and use the personnel. He seemed really intrigued by what he has at his disposal, and he's going to call an aggressive attacking defense. And we saw that at training camp. We saw the way that they were aggressive at attacking, getting after their own offense and competing hard. Dennis Allen wanted to get after Ben Johnson and his unit there, and you saw that take place more days than not. So I'm excited to see how that looks week one, because I think this defense is going to be ready to go, and they're going to be flying.
Yeah, do the Bears get off to 1-0 start?
I think so. I do. And I think that because
Emma's calling it.
It's a young quarterback on the Vikings side. It's going to be, I think, a defensive battle. Home field advantage on a Monday night at Soldier Field. I think the Bears win that one. I think they do enough on offense. I think that defense makes some plays to win that game.
Give me a score, just so when you say enough on offense.
While you're thinking, Chris, like, 24-17.
I'm thinking like 40-37, right?
Wow. Low scoring
46
game.
To 10, maybe?
46 to 0, you're down right blowout.
How about
there's a 14 win.
Give me a 17-14 win. Cairo Santos field goal. Bears win, go 1-0.
I think when you're looking at that, that's exactly what you should expect. A low scoring game. It's going to be turnover late, and we're talking about the Vikings and their defense and J.J. McCarthy on the offense, still a rookie quarterback in his mind, obviously playing, getting his first snaps out there. I've had a lot of these conversations where people think the first week for the Chicago Bears is going to be a tough one. And granted, the Vikings and the roster that they have, the talent that they have on that team, is one of the best in the NFC North. But I think the fact of the matter is Caleb's still a good quarterback. I think a lot of people are undermining what he was able to do last year despite everything that was going on around him. He put together a solid season. And so now you have a head coach around. I think he's going to be elevated. He looks better. He looks more fit this year. You see the muscles kind of coming in. I think this is a guy who's taking his job more seriously than he did last year. And I think when you're putting up against a J.J. McCarthy, I think the fourth quarter is going to determine the outcome of that game, where I don't trust J.J. McCarthy is going to be able to take that team down the field if they need a score or hold on to the ball in order to extend the lead and not get Caleb Williams that ball back, who's proven that he can get the job done in a two-minute offense.
And if Jalen Johnson's out there matching up with Justin Jefferson, which, by the way, Jalen Johnson for years has said, give me one-on-one. I don't want to be on one side. I want to be shadowing somebody all game long. If he's healthy, we'll see where he is next week. That still is up in the air. But if he's healthy and good to go, you love the way that matches up. They're thin at wide receiver on the Vikings side. It does feel like a big if right now, but we talk about how young Caleb Williams is. J.J. McCarthy's never played an NFL regular season game. He's got to go on the road for a primetime game without depth at wide receiver, with his top guy potentially covered pretty strong. Like, it's going to be a really tough night for J.J. McCarthy. It could be. Like, we'll see how this defense takes shape, but I really believe in this group. I know it wasn't pretty out there last Friday night in Kansas City, but I'm really bullish on this Bears defense.
You guys going to carry that optimism into week two?
Against the Lions, we'll see. Let's see week one first.
Wow, Gabe is feeling optimistic. I'll tell you this. Here's a stat for you. No team has ever started their two-game stretch with the amount of wins that the Bears' first two opponents have accumulated the year before. Now, granted, keep in mind, you know, obviously there's 17 games now, and that's somewhat new. But no team has ever earned a combined 29 wins the previous year.
Yeah, but if you're going to talk about statistics, you got to talk about the fact that you have a brand new quarterback on one of those teams. I mean, you can't discredit that, right? I mean, it's not the same team that they're facing. J.J. McCarthy, as you mentioned, you know, getting his first start there.
But where was Sam Darnold before Kevin O'Connell? So there's that.
Sam Darnold with a Justin Jefferson and a Jordan Addison and a T.J. Hockenson is pretty damn good when you're talking about a former number one overall pick that just wants to get the job done and hadn't had those weapons his entire career. I think there's things there that you can argue back and forth about. Lions game, we can have more discussions about that.
Yeah.
But my Vikings game, give me my victory for week one. I told you I'm a meatball. I love my Bears, and I'm telling you, 24-17, a little higher scoring than you said, Chris.
Okay, all right. I love the fact that you're starting out with these two games. You said it, Johnson. Like, it makes it so exciting. Where last year, like, you didn't play the divisional games till November.
Right.
Like, it felt odd. It fell off right out of the gate. So you get a primetime home game Monday night at Soldier Field against the Vikings. Then you go week two. Ben Johnson returns to Detroit.
Yeah.
The entry there is going to be through the roof. It really adds an element. When you're talking about a division where three teams made the playoffs and the fourth team is the Bears, who have hopes to make a big jump this year, like, there's a lot of excitement right out of the gates.
Anybody else bothered that the Packers are week 14 and week 16? It's like, I don't want Thanksgiving and Christmas like 4 days apart.
Yeah, but you know what? In the years past, they were facing them in week one, right? And so I think you're just on the opposite end of that schedule.
I just would love it a little more spread out.
I hear that.
You know, I guess more time for Mike Parsons to get hurt.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great, but it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Game day or any day, your fit says it all. Hit up MLBShop.com for the latest jerseys, caps, hoodies, and accessories to keep you in the game all year long. Rep your team, rep your city, rep yourself. Gear up and game on at MLBShop.com, the official online shop of Major League Baseball. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.